God bless you. Come on, give it up for Bradley tonight.
Well, while I get settled in, I just want to thank you for coming out. I see some faces that I was asking to come tonight. My nephew, my aunt and uncle, Bob and Sandy Strang, are in the back. They came. And I put the squeeze on Guy to be here tonight. So, Guy, thank you for coming. I texted him a picture of this Mickey Mouse clothes. It's kind of a joke that I have with customers. If the deal is all the way to the end, I pull out the Mickey Mouse clothes and I tell them that, you know, when my daughter was watching Mickey Mouse, she would ask for Mickey Mouse until she got Mickey Mouse. So I had to pull that clothes out, and I appreciate you coming, Guy, and I appreciate everybody's support. It means a lot to me to be standing up here starting this Super September. I got a letter from Marty today, and that's what he's calling it, is Super September. And our baby boy, Ethan, I don't know if I told you guys the name, but he held out. You know, Aaron and I have been in a lot of communication, and I said the only reason I wouldn't be here is if for some reason Ethan decides he's coming. So he held out. He didn't want to hear me preach tonight, but I imagine he could hear me in that belly. So, and then if you had, Marty's been talking a lot about Tim DeLena. And I've been watching a lot of his YouTube messages. And because I wanted to get my spirit right and make sure that my mind was with him and my spirit was with him. So I encourage you, they're free videos. If you're on your way to work or maybe you're in the bathroom brushing your teeth, doing your hair, whatever, just watch some of his videos. They are incredible. And he is a dynamic speaker. He articulates the word. He's like the filet mignon. I'm like the pot roast, you know. He's going to just bring it. His words are awesome. I'm like Moses, you know. I'm trying to like stumble through some words. And tonight, I'm going to be in the book of Jeremiah. And I asked Chuck Wood, I said, Chuck, during my message, don't say anything, but after the message, if you got to help me clean up some of the mistakes that I made with some of the words, help me afterwards. And the last thing is I'm excited about what's happening two Thursdays from now with Ryan. I've been hanging out with, yeah. Big day. So that's why it's Super September. So I'm excited to start off Super September, and I'm going to get right into it. And again, if you got your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 35, if you would, and that way you're ready when I get there. In sports, there is a center. Basketball, there's a tip-off in the center of the court. Baseball, the pitcher's mound is in the center of the diamond. Football, the center snaps the ball to start each play. Soccer, the game starts in the center of the field. In hockey, the face-off start in the center of the circle. In wrestling, if you've ever wrestled, the center is where they start the match. And in boxing, in the center is where they touch gloves. With no center, there is no beginning to the game, no start of a play, no tip-off, no first pitch, no drop of a puck. The match would not begin. Without a center, there is no direction. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for touching me when you did. Thank you for changing my life. As Marty spoke about it, he's seen me at a low. And look at what you've done, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that this message is all about you and not about me. Lord, just speak through me, God. You've downloaded this into my spirit, God. Let me just articulate the way you want the message to go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we live in a time, in a world where anything goes. Anything can be justified. Anything can be called right. The name for that is called rationalization. The dictionary defines it as the act of attempting to explain or justify behavior, an attitude with logical reason, even if these are not appropriate. Wikipedia describes it as In psychology or logic, rationalization, also known as making excuses, is a defense mechanism in which controversial behavior or feelings are justified and explained in a seamless, rational, or logic manner to avoid the true explanation and are made consciously tolerable or even admirable or superior by plausible means. It is also an informal fallacy of reasoning. That's a lot. Rationalization. People can rationalize anything they want. If you can rationalize it, it must be okay. If you can justify the action or the intent, it must be okay. But with rationalization, there is no boundaries. There is no defined direction. There is no center. People need a starting point. People need boundaries, direction, a center to go to. I want to read a story to you about a people who knew their direction. They knew boundaries and they knew a center. And if you're there, it's in Jeremiah 35:2. And this is where the Moses comes out. So stay with me on all these names, because I'm in the Old Testament. And I asked Chuck, I said, Chuck, just clean me up later. So Jeremiah 35:2. It says, "Go to the settlement where the family of the Rechabites live and invite them to the Lord's temple. Take them into one of the inner rooms and offer them some wine." So I went to see Jehazaniah, son of Jeremiah and grandson of Habazaniah, and all his brothers and sons, representing all the Rechabite families. I took them to the temple and went into the room assigned. I'm going to stop for a second. Lord, just bring peace over me right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, help me with these words. God, calm my heart, calm my spirit. Like those songs sang tonight, you're in control of everything in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I took them to the temple, and we went into the room and assigned to the son Hena, son of Igneliah, a man of God. This room was located next to one used by the temple officials, directly above the room of Mahasahiah, son of Shalom, the temple gatekeeper. I set a cup and jug of wine before them and invited them to drink the wine. But they refused. "No," they said, "we don't drink wine because our ancestors, Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. You and your descendants must never drink wine and never build houses or plant crops or vineyards, but always live in tents. You follow these commands and you will live a long, good life in the land." So we have obeyed him in all these things. We have never had a drink of wine to this day, nor have our wives or sons or daughters. We haven't built houses or owned vineyards or farms or planted crops. 10 reads, "We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed the commands of Jehonadab, our ancestors." Whew, how'd I do? Amen. So you can get on like the Bible app, and I'm like, God, my earbuds in. I'm heading to work, and I'm like putting the earbuds in. I'm like trying to like listen to them, stop, and repeat them. So anyway, do you ever wonder why you do some of the things you do or say some of the things you do? Why you respond the way you do? Why you have certain physical, emotional, mental response? Why habits, thoughts, mannerisms, a way of life get passed down from generation to generation? I want to share a story with you. And my uncle Johnny and Lena are here. Johnny will probably remember, but my grandma Kibby, she lived in an apartment house in Attica next to Busy Mart. And I was a little boy, and I don't remember the age that I was at, but I was excited to go to her house. I can see her house right now. I would have to go up the stairs, And I was always excited to go there. I don't remember the name of the cookies, but you remember the cookies? They're like that big, and there was some filling towards the bottom in the shape of like a silver dollar. Well, I was excited to go there. I really wanted the cookies. I remember a small kitchen. I remember the countertop was like a red plaid, and she had red carpet all through her house. And Grandma Kibbe would ask me, she would say, "Brad, do you want a cookie?" And I would say, "Sure, Grandma." And you want to know what she'd say to me? She said, "Brad, you want a cookie, yes or no?" Not sure, yes or no. 30 years later, that is still sticking to me. 30 years later, when somebody says to me, "Sure," through a text message, or somebody says, "Sure," when I ask for something, I say, do they mean yes or do they mean no? To this day, my daughter, Taylor, at 5 years old, she says, "Sure, Daddy." And I said, "Taylor, yes or no?" She says, "Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy." For 30 years later, this is still stuck with me. And I know this is a real simple story. I know it's a real simple story, but what has been passed down from past generations? What have you seen, or what have you been told, or what do you believe? Is it good? Is it bad? And is it a way of life? There's another part of the story in Jeremiah. If you go to Jeremiah 35:12, then the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. "Go and say to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, come and learn a lesson about how to obey me. The Rechabites do not drink wine to this day because their ancestor, Jehonadab, told them not to. But I have spoken to you again and again, but you refuse to obey me. Time after time I have sent prophets to you who told you, turn from your wicked ways and start doing things right. Stop worshiping other gods so that you might live in peace in this land I have given you and your ancestors. But you have not listened to me." 16 reads, "The descendants of Jehonadab, son of Rechab, have obeyed their ancestors completely, but you have refused to listen to me." The Rechabites, because something was passed down from generation to generation just because of a belief system, they followed it. God promised his people all the blessings. God spoke to his people and they couldn't listen. For generations and generations, the Israelites, the chosen people, the people of the promised land, the people God delivered from slavery, sinned against God. The Israelites lost their center. Sin became a way of life. Sin became their way of life. Day after day, month after month, year after year, the voices of false prophets became louder and stronger. Idols were created. Statues of gods were worshipped. They knew the promises of God. Decisions were rationalized to move farther and farther and farther away from God, their center. We must not rationalize decisions to move from center. We must be like the Rechabites. The Rechabites lived a simple, holy, blameless life. There was a starting point how they were going to live their life. They trusted and believed what past generations said. The Rechabite people stayed focused on the long game. They knew the long game. Not allowing themselves to be distracted and knocked off center. As Christians, we have a promise through Jesus Christ to live a life that pleases God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 reads, "Imitate God. Therefore, everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice to him, a pleasing aroma to God." What a beautiful story. What a beautiful scripture. The story is beautiful. If you read through Jeremiah, you'll skip through it. It's only 19 verses. It's like, okay, the Rechabites were a faithful people. But if you really dig in, look at what they did. So I want to tell you another story about myself. I find it a lot easier just to pick on myself, because I hope you laugh. If you know me, like really, really deep, deep down know me, you're going to say, yep, that's the way Brad is. If you kind of know me like, okay, yeah, I know him, I see him all the time, you're going to kind of laugh. And if you know me, you're going to be like I know me, you're going to be like, this is things I'm working through. So I'm going to pick on myself for a moment. Have you ever had somebody ask you a very simple, complex question? Can those two go together, simple, complex question? How do you hear from God? Somebody asked me that question maybe 6 to 8 months ago. And that's exactly what I heard, is nothing. Sometimes the best way to tell a story is to tell it about yourself. So I'm going to tell you a story about how I wake up in the morning. I'm going to do my best. So I wake up. I put my 2 feet on the ground. I talk to myself. I say, Brad, let's get going. Get your feet going. Let's go. I thank God for the day. I drink my lemon water. I read a list of things I'm grateful for. It's many things. I thank God for all the things He's done. And then I'm off to the races. And this is where, if you know me, I'm really off to the races. Gym, family, friends. I listen to motivational videos about creating my life by the way you think. I read books on becoming a better salesperson and a trainer. I read books about becoming a better leader. I read books about Bible study. Through it all, I say, thank you, Jesus. Emails, calls, got to eat, try to be social, try to get on social media, friends, family, church. Thank you, God, because I'm doing it all. How do you hear from God? I tell this story to somebody, and they say, how do you hear from God? And I'm like, God, I'm over here. I'm getting stuff done. Hey, God, come on over. Give me a hand. And He says to me, Brad, I'm over here. I'm right here in the center. Let's get back to center. Let's get back to center. Yeah, all that stuff is good. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But I'm trying to pull God with me to, hey, God, give me a hand. God's given me it all. God, come with me. No, Brad. Brad, you're off center. You're losing your bearings. You've been bumped off center. Let's get back to center. If you leave no room for God, the Creator, that created all the great I am, if the God's voice is so drowned out as I share all that stuff with you, you probably get exhausted. I mean, it don't stop. I'll just expound just a little bit, but it doesn't stop. I've programmed myself, and if you know me, I've really tried to work on it. I'm trying to make time for friends and relationships. It's work. I'm work. Ask my wife. I'm a lot of work. Ask her. She knows I'm a lot of work. She knows when I hit the feet on the ground. She knows I'm talking to myself. But if I'm leaving no room for God's voice, if His voice is so muffled down, I will slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly move away from center. And I'm trying to pull God with me, and He says, Brad, let's get back to center. Let's get back to center. Matthew 16:26 reads, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Have you ever heard somebody say, I just need to get my bearings. I've lost my center of gravity. We must center our lives on God, the great I am. Your soul, your spirit needs to be continually connected to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This scripture just was unbelievably awesome. Is John 8:12, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me, follow me, follow me. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, if you center on me, you don't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen? Somebody give me an amen while I take a drink. Am I getting you excited? Are you ready to just run out of here with me? and take on the world. That's how my day starts. I'm like the guy in the cartoon, Pinky and the Brain. It's like he's thinking about taking over the world. I shared it in Bible study. I'm like, guys, I'm on my way to Bible study this morning, and I'm like, we're talking about, I'm over here, but you know, I'm like, guys, I had to slow down. I just had to listen to some worship music because I'm on the way to the work and I want to listen to some stuff and I'm ready to take on the world because really, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm centered. We need to be like the Rechabites. What can we learn from the Rechabites in this story? How can you relate the story in Jeremiah in the Old Testament that was written so long ago to today's life? So, they were disciplined. Jeremiah 35, 2 through 4. Even though they were taken into an inner room at the Lord's temple, they stayed true to themselves and their beliefs. They stayed true. They were taken to the Lord's temple. They stayed true to themselves and what they believed. 2 Timothy 1, 7 reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline." They were disciplined. Another thing we can learn from the Rechabites is integrity. When asked to drink the wine, they did not compromise or rationalize because of their surrounding or their company. Whether you're here or there, they did not compromise or rationalize their beliefs. Psalms 119:1, "Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord." They were also submissive. They had a submissive spirit. In Jeremiah 6, they submitted to their lives, their thoughts, their desires, their ideas to a certain way of life, and they stuck to it. Proverbs 3:6 tells us, "In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." He will make them straight. Submit your life to the Lord. They were also obedient. Jeremiah 35, 8 through 10. So we have obeyed all of these things. They obeyed all these things. Psalm 111, 10. "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. All who obey His commands will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forever." Praise Him forever. The last thing we learn from the Rechabites is leadership. They were leaders. God used them as an example. God said, "Look at the Rechabites. People of Israel, people of Judah, people of Jerusalem, the Israelites, look at these people. They're leading their lives." God used the Rechabites as an example to His chosen people. Proverbs 11:14 reads, "Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors." The Rechabites never lost their center. Polly, can you put up that little dartboard again? I'm closing. Give me 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Okay, so in darts, the center is the most valuable position. It's the bullseye. If you hit the bullseye, if you hit the center, it gives you the most points. Keep God in the center, and everything else will work itself out. You don't have to scatter your life everywhere. Focus on the center. And I want to share one more story. Okay, last story. I hope I'm okay. This story is very, very touching for me. So, last Thursday, Life Night with Jessica, Ireland, and the ladies that went to LA. Last Thursday, right? Life is just going so fast. Okay, so my intention, I'm just being honest with you, my intention was to go to listen to the stories. I want to hear the stories. I want to hear what the ladies had to say. I wanted to hear what the Bosniaks had to learn. I wanted to hear that stuff. I wanted to be inspired. But I was also motivated, and my intentions was also to be, I need to be there because I supported them. I gave them money. You know, I did. I supported them. So I had two intentions of coming. I wanted to hear stories, and I also wanted to support them because I gave them money. Okay? So that week leading up to it, the dealership asked us to work Sunday. I don't like working Sunday. I like to work. I don't like to work Sunday. And I was figuring some things out. I talked to Kelly, and I said, okay, I'm going to work Sunday, this coming Sunday. Well, then we get a message that it's moving up Sunday. Okay, Riley's up in nursery. Taylor's in jam. I've been over with big kids for whatever, helping out. That's the direction I've been wanting my life to go in is hey, I want to be helping, I want to be doing those things. So then I started rationalizing the reason I should be at work. Well, the baby's coming, I got a lot of stuff going on. Marty talks about the building and stuff like that. You know, there's funds, you need funds, I better work. Okay, you want to know what, I can go to work, I'll go to worship. Kelly, is it okay? We go to worship, we'll keep the kids down, we'll do all this stuff. I'm rationalizing all these decisions to get to work. I am. That's what I'm doing. And I'm just using my story, and we all rationalize in certain ways. Well, Miss Sammy sends out a text message to a group and says, hey, I'll need you this, this, and this. I said, I'll be leaving after worship. I got to work that day. Aaron sends out a message that says, we got this going on, and I tell everybody, hey, I'm going to leave after worship. So I'm rationalizing all these decisions to actually move in a direction that I've worked so hard to go in. I'm moving away from a certain direction that I'm going in. Well, I sit down with Ryan. I sat over there. Ryan said, hey, come on over. I sat with him. And then Erin gets up here. She talks about a few things. Then she sits down in a very nice, gentle way. She says, Brad, it really stinks that you can't be here for moving up Sunday. Very gentle, very kind, not manipulative. I thought and I thought and I thought and I thought and I thought. And I said, you want to know what? You're right. I shouldn't move it. I texted her and I said, Aaron, thank you so much. Thank you so much for, thank you for bumping me back to center. Thank you for getting me back to center. Thank you for getting me off the path that I was trying to go in. Thank you so much. She said, I'm glad you're coming, but I understand. She understands I got to work. I got to provide. I got some kids coming. But I'm rationalizing all these other decisions. So moving up Sunday was unbelievable. Aaron's message was awesome. I got a chance to sit on the front row. Sammy's over there. The kids are all coming up. And one of my dreams as a boy growing up in the chaos that I grew up in was I just want to be a husband and I want to be a father. That's my dream. I'm living my dream. I really am in my dream right now. And little Taylor's just sitting up here. And everybody's seen Taylor grow. Everyone's seen her grow and go through some stuff. That first 5 years, it's a lot of work and it's still work. But she's standing up here tall. She's standing up here. She's got all her stuff together. She's paying attention. She's standing proud. Her shoulders are back. She takes a look, and there her daddy and mommy are. There her daddy and mommy are. And you want to know what? My actions, my intentions of staying there are telling her that she is the most important, she is the most important person, the most important thing that I have going on in this moment. Not that work is not important. It is important. We need to work. But she sees me. Then she comes running over to me and sits on my lap. If you know Taylor, she's not like that lovey-dovey, hey, I want a hug. You know, she's just not. But she sits on my lap for this like 30 seconds. And it was like beautiful to me. And it was worth it all. I would have missed all of that. I would have missed that. What is the question she would have had in her mind if I wasn't here? What would I have been showing her for her generation, when she has kids, what's more important, what's not more important, what's center and what's not center? Because that's all going on up there. It really is. I go up, I get Riley, because, you know, saving Taylor or Kelly a trip upstairs. I get Riley. I'm filled with joy. I got my kid here. I see Aaron in the foyer. Everyone's having snacks and everything. And I look at Aaron and I say, I had a tear in my eye. I said, thank you so much. And I give her a hug, and I genuinely meant, thank you, Aaron, so much for just bumping me back to center, to getting me back to center, The question I have is, what if Erin lost her center? She might have never said anything to me. I would have missed it all. What if Chuck and Cheryl missed Erin's parents, got off their center? What if I lose my center? Look at the precious people that I would be affecting. What would be the way of life I would be teaching them? Who are you influencing that need you to stay on center? One of the greatest parts of the story about the Rechabites comes at the end. Jeremiah 35, 18 through 19. Then Jeremiah turns to the Rechabites and says, "This is what the Lord of heavens of army, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed your ancestors, Jehonadab, in every respect, following all his instructions. Therefore, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to Jehonadab, son of Rechab, will always have descendants who serve me." In John 12, 26, "Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me." Amen. So maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you're like the Rechabites. Maybe you've stayed faithful. Maybe you've followed Jesus and stayed true to your center. Keep serving. Descendants are going to be honored. Or maybe you can relate to the Israelites. Maybe you've been bumped off center. You need to get your bearings. You need to get your center of gravity. You need to get back to center. God is the center of all. Or maybe you don't know Jesus today. And it's simple to know Him. It's very simple. As Tim, because I've been listening to him, he says it's simple as A, B, C. We teach our kids that it's very simple. Accept that Jesus, accept that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died, and confess your sins to Him. A, B, C. I don't know if I quoted him right, but when he said it, I was like, that is awesome, and I just want to share it for you. So if any of this stuff can help you relate with you, I want to pray for you. There'll be people down here to pray for you, and I just appreciate you. I went a little longer, but I appreciate you sticking it out with me. Amen.